It's been said by many, never discuss religion and politics, especially with your family.
Hello? Hello, anybody home? Think, McFly, think.
I'm thinking.
What were you thinking?
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Don't say anything now. Just think about it.
You're listening to Stop and Think About It, a podcast for the Christian thinker. In a day when sound biblical preaching has been replaced by man-centered entertainment, and the church has become increasingly anti-intellectual, this podcast will encourage believers to think biblically and theologically. So please join me as we get ready to stop and think about it.
Welcome, friends and foes, saints and sinners, to another episode of the Stop and Think About It podcast. We have our new friend, Scott, from Public Theology with us today at the G3 conference here in Atlanta, Georgia. And so we were speaking before and intrigued by just the title of his ministry and seminary, Public Theology, because many times we think theology is just for the head and stay in the four walls of the church, and it just ceases at that spot. So welcome, brother, to Stop and Think About It podcast.
Yes, great to be here. Thanks
Amen.
For having me.
So I'm Phil Sessa.
Yes.
I'm the director of Soul Fishing Ministries. And so we were speaking a little while ago about public theology.
Right.
Can you tell us about who you are and your ministry?
Yes. So I'm Scott Callahan. I'm the dean of the Institute of Public Theology, which is a work of Founders Ministries. And so some people have heard of Founders, haven't heard about us, or vice versa. But this is a really important work.
Yes.
That the founding faculty, Tom Askell,
yes,
Vodi Bauckham, Tom Nettles, a few years ago were realizing, you know, the traditional ways we've been doing things in training up the leaders of the church, sometimes they work, but it seems like overall they've kind of failed us in the last few years, because it looks like evangelicalism writ large wants people to have a very spiritual formation, mystical piety, keep it in your head kind of faith.
Yes.
Rather than living out a Great Commission faith, which is outward focus, right? And so to address this problem for individuals who've kind of been enculturated not even to open their mouths about being a Christian, let alone to live in a way that would be different from anybody else, but also churches to help them recover their public voice in society, this idea gave birth to the Institute of Public Theology. And so we're really excited. We've been growing this year to the point of being able to offer bachelor's degrees all the way to the Master of Divinity. So, you know, I just taught a class the week before coming here to be with you here at G3. And it's coming along. Our entire spectrum of courses. We're online now. We're going.
What class did you teach?
So I taught Old Testament Survey 1.
Ah.
And a title like that, you might say, okay, that sounds pretty academic, right? But, okay, so for the people in the room and for the streamers, though,
yes.
I mean, I sort of didn't know how it would go until it happened, because the last time I taught this was 22 years ago.
Okay.
But I was looking forward to it, and it became what I was dreaming it would be, which is, obviously, we're diving deep. And there's only so much time you can dive deep in half of the Old Testament in a week.
Yes.
But we dived
a week.
Yeah, well, half of the Old Testament in a week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So there's only so deep you can go, yes, as you dive deep. But we're selective. Okay.
Okay.
But as we're doing this, it's almost like preaching all day long. You know? Because you get into the Word of God in the Old Testament, which is my specialty, and you just soak in it. Like we took a whole afternoon just for the Book of Ruth, for instance. And you discover some riches there that,
yeah,
if you were just reading fast, just reading quickly, let's get through this, you know, let's have our 3-minute recharge kind of attitude. And this is an attitude we get from that personal piety kind of faith, then you'd miss it completely. So it was fantastic. This week, Tom Askell is teaching ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, and many theological education programs, they actually don't have a whole course devoted to that.
Right.
But what more important class could you have for our present age, where we've kind of been disappointed by how our church has acted in the last few years, when faced with, from a church history standpoint, mild pressure, just really mild pressure, and the church folded, shut the doors, locked people out for a couple of years, It's pretty embarrassing. So the doctrine of the church is this week, and then the following week, we're starting Hebrew 2. Excited about that as well.
So of the Old Testament books that you taught through,
yes.
Do you have a favorite one that you locked in?
That's easy.
Go ahead. Go for it.
One of my specialties is the Book of Ruth, so that's why we took an afternoon.
Oh, okay. So it's
a short book. Okay, so if we had to spend an equal amount of time on each page, it'd be like, okay, you have to flip through the whole half of the Old Testament in a week, just keep going, flipping the pages. So we slowed down and read every verse of the Book of Ruth, and there's so much going on in there that tends not to get out to the church at large, because that's a book that tends to get confined to the women's Bible study.
Ah.
Versus being a book that's preached through, that's studied intently. And so one of the things I say is, by the end of my actual full Ruth course that I've taught many times in the past, then it should become the men's Bible study book after a week like that.
Amen. Amen. I did a lot of teaching and preaching through Jonah.
Yeah.
You have any nuggets on the Book of Jonah for us?
Well, it's nice and short as well. So this is one of those books that tends to get extra attention when you're doing the application of your Hebrew learning to preaching. So, you know, it's a short book, so it can be covered in a textbook. One thing I think is great about the Book of Jonah is you have that prayer in chapter 2.
Yeah.
So that's different from the surrounding story. You don't tend to focus on that prayer very much. But if you look at what Jonah is praying, it's by no means like an imposition drop down into the book.
Right.
It actually very much connects to where Jonah is at that moment in his not quite correct theology about what's going on, about how God has commissioned him to go to the great big bad enemy and to preach to them. So, you know, very good book theologically. So I'm glad to hear that you devoted that kind of attention to
it. Yeah, I had to read about 700 pages of commentary. Ten sermons on the book, and just, I knew very little about it when I think about what I learned.
Yes.
Got to plumb the depths, pun intended.
Yes, well, and you know, he certainly did, Jonah,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did.
But, you know, something about the Book of Jonah, as with every book in the Bible, we want to take it seriously for what it
yes.
says. You know, we want it to instruct us.
Yes.
And I saw one time a children's Bible.
Right.
And what it did with Jonah is just, you just regret that this is done. Where at the end of the story, it said, and Jonah learned his lesson and understood that God loved everybody. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
It ended with a question.
Yes. Yes. So we need to pay attention to what the Bible says, because we're not the children's story Bible Jonah.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
We're the other one. We're the Bible one.
Yeah, they make it seem more like a Pinocchio, almost with Geppetto is in there on a raft and with a light on.
right.
Yeah. So I'm very interested, public theology.
Yes. What do we mean?
From the head
yes.
to outward.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean?
What do we mean? So this is a term that begs for a definition, right? And so the Institute of Public Theology doesn't have the word seminary in the name, not because sort of we aren't doing something like that,
right.
but because we're focusing on this public theology idea. And the idea with public theology is breaking free from the shackles of this private religion that has been foisted upon us, that's so out of touch, not only with the church in history and, well, what the church needs to be in every age, but also what the Bible says about the church. And you know, before coming to the Institute of Public Theology, my family and I were cross-cultural international missionaries among the Chinese in Asia.
Really?
So if we had a private faith we were supposed to keep to ourselves, well, what was that about? I mean, you know, like God's calling to all of his church to participate in the Great Commission in some way, some direct way. Well, that was a whole waste of time if we have this private faith that's just meant for me.
Right.
You know, so public theology is supposed to have a public voice. And so, you know, we feel we're just trying to be faithful in training our students and whoever God will bring to us. And I certainly hope God will bring more people to us as a result of us talking.
Yeah.
But to train them to regain that public voice. And a wonderful thing is this doesn't require charisma. You know, This doesn't require special skills. Actually, it doesn't require creativity to preach and teach the Word of God, because it's not primarily about what the person is bringing. What primarily we should be doing when we're preaching and teaching the Word of God is being a messenger of that message, a faithful messenger of that message,
right.
The authoritative and sufficient Word.
Yeah, it makes me think again of the book of Jonah. He said, this is the message you need to preach. He couldn't bring his own message, couldn't alter what was given to him.
When you preached that, did you talk about, he didn't even seem to be a very good preacher.
No. He was
right?
Like
40 days.
Yeah.
Nineveh will be destroyed.
He was almost like a Christian that you brought to the street to evangelize, who like threw a gospel track over his shoulder and somebody picked it up and God saved them from it.
In spite of it. I've often wondered if, as he's traipsing through Nineveh, is he preaching even in Hebrew? Not even trying to be understood. You know what I mean? Because they
right.
didn't speak Hebrew.
No, they didn't.
Right?
Very good point.
Yeah.
You know, here's a small town guy in a big town city, you know, in this metropolis. But he had theology that he knew, you know, even on the ship. He said, you know, my God is the God of that I serve, the sea and the dry land.
Yeah.
He had the right God. But then eventually God thrust him out to bring it public.
Vomits him out
of the mouth, exactly.
Right.
You know? And he went public with it.
Yes.
And many believers, like you said, they're kind of like a Joseph of Arimathea, where they're like secret disciples, so to speak. And then Joseph came to a point where he went to Pilate and said, I want the body of Jesus at the most dangerous time, perhaps, for him to ask for that body.
Yeah.
And yet he does. But I feel like so many believers are kind of like that secret Joseph of Arimathea, and they don't want to go and ask for the body of Christ, the crucified Lord, and identify with him. Why do you think that is?
Well, that's the inertia of American Christianity. So I think we're at a crisis point, a point of reevaluating Christianity as it exists in the U.S. And I like how John MacArthur has said, you know, a lot of these churches that seem to be permanently closed down, that's a good thing. The kind of church that would agree to be closed down for years, just keep the doors shut.
Right.
We don't need that kind of church. You know?
Yeah. Well, during that whole COVID thing, a lot was learned.
Yeah.
During that time.
It was a sobering time.
Yeah, because I mean, I was appalled that there were certain denominations or ministries even that attacked MacArthur
right.
for opening and
right.
keeping open, because that's where theology came
right.
to bear
right.
to say who has the authority over the church,
right?
The state. So,
well, the lamentable fact is that so many figures who had been so dependable in the past. It must be that they sort of had memorized right answers before, but didn't have a basis. Because when the true test came, which wasn't, again, it wasn't that difficult.
Right.
When the true test came of what is the right thing to do, utter failure on the part of many. Utter failure.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
disappointing. And so this leads us back to, well, where do we go from here, right?
Yes.
Where do we go from here? I think we're having this conversation at G3. Whenever this episode should air, that's where we're talking. And we are really, it's refreshing, we're surrounded by a lot of like-minded folks here.
Yes.
A lot of people who are pulling in the same direction, because we see that, you know, God's apparently not done with us.
Thank
you know,
God.
He could be done with our society.
Right.
He could be done with evangelicalism, business as usual, you know. But apparently God has more work for us to do. So we're going to do it. You know, we're going to carry forth the Great Commission in our culture and not just keep it here. We're going to do what Jesus says about going to every language, people, tribe, and nation.
Yeah. Well, we come from, in New York City, we have every nation, tongue, and tribe has come to New York City where we preach
yeah.
and minister.
Probably some Chinese.
There are definitely some Chinese.
Yes.
We have Asians in our church. We have people from the Caribbean and really all over. And it really is just a beautiful picture. But I think sometimes believers are actually afraid to step out of their comfort zone and go to people from different ethnicities and bring them the word of God, yet say we believe what it says, every nation, tongue, and tribe.
Right.
Again, the theology, so like when I taught on Jonah, the theology in his head, and his functional theology, didn't seem to match. And that's what it seems like you're addressing in public theology.
Well, and you know, you bring up ethnicity.
Right.
There's a whole alternate religion that's around nowadays surrounding that exact topic. It's a false religion.
Sure. You
know, the critical race theory religion.
Oh, absolutely.
BLM,
woke theology.
That those who have dreamed that false religion up are using the power of the state to grind it in everyone's faces.
Yes.
Force them to swallow it.
Right.
Okay. It's a golden calf. It is an idol. It is not the God that led us out of Egypt.
Right.
Okay. It should be opposed with every fiber of our being in our churches. As we teach the Word of God. But the thing is so frustrating is those who had those memorized right answers before seemed to fall for this with no problem when the testing time came. And that says to me that we actually don't have a good number of people who trust in the authority and sufficiency of Scripture. They need something else. You see what I mean? We don't need anything else. According to the Bible, we don't need anything else.
Yeah, well, we went in the middle of a BLM rally and preached the gospel, the justice of God. Someone tried to steal our speaker. There were 50 police officers protecting a building.
Yeah.
And I'm still speaking as my speaker's being carried away. I'm walking after the guy, and no police officer would come to help me.
Yeah.
That just really said something.
I was about to say, how'd that go?
Yeah.
Right.
No one helped me.
Right.
I had to go and like chase the guy down. He said, you can't preach over here because we're having a protest.
Yeah.
So I just said, I'm a Protestant. I've been protesting longer than you. He didn't understand, you know, the tongue in cheek. We took it right back. And then he went and spoke to a guy from our church, unbeknownst to himself. And he said, you know, look at this guy. He's preaching. He's a, you know, he's a light-skinned guy, even though I'm half Puerto Rican, so the guy said, well, you know, I'm a Christian. And the guy from our church said, there's no way you can be a Christian. He said, yeah, and he had a tattoo. And he said, if you were a Christian, you would never stop or squelch the preaching of the gospel. He said, that's my pastor is preaching. And he was like appalled, like you're with him.
Yeah.
He said that, he said, that's my brother, not you.
Okay.
And that like spoke volumes.
Yes.
Because our guy was Trinidadian. And so he was speaking to another black guy who tried to steal our speaker. And he was saying, you're not my brother, that's my brother.
Yes.
And so he just saw the power of the gospel. That's public theology. I don't know. You tell me.
It seems pretty public to me as you describe that.
How can people like look into this ministry that you're doing?
Yeah, watch for the typos because it's a long URL. The webpage, instituteofpublictheology.org.
Okay. Easy enough to spell.
Yes.
Easy enough to spell. Well, let's pray. If you would close us in prayer.
Yeah.
We're Soul Fishing Ministries. We go out on the streets. Public theology, I guess, is what we're all about, trying to live this out and train people in biblical hermeneutics as well. And so we're doing some of this stuff. But we know the great importance of public theology, and we really appreciate you being here with us.
Well,
why don't you close in a word of prayer?
Let's pray then. God, Phil and I do thank you that we've had the opportunity to talk today, and we pray that this podcast would be a blessing to listeners. And God, that you would motivate more listeners to really live out their faith publicly, not in any abstract way, not trying to mow their lawns better or anything like that, but really, God, to have an explicit Christian witness sharing the hope that is within us, because it's the only hope we have. Jesus Christ gave his life for sinners so that trust in him would result in us being able to live with God our Father forever. God, we need your Holy Spirit to fill us. We pray this for our audience, God, if there are people who are listening who have not come to faith in Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. And should it please you, God, please bless the work today of Phil and his ministry and the work of the Institute of Public Theology. We just place ourselves in your hands, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for taking this time to stop and think about it.
If you would like to contact us, please email us at stopandthinkcrew@gmail.com. You could also visit our website at www.stopandthinkpodcast.com. This podcast is listener-supported by generous people like you. You can give a tax-deductible donation at our affiliate ministry at www.soulfishingministries.org and click on our donate link to give securely through PayPal. Thank you for listening to Stop and Think About It.